Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
How you going? Woo! So good. Man, today feels just a bit more alive, I think, you know, like everyone's ready, like I'm excited. We reach out just for one more minute as we get into the Word today. God is going to speak to you today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray your Word does not return void this morning. Lord, it does its work. And Father, we would not escape your grace today. We would not escape the grasp of your grace, the grasp of your love in Jesus' name. Every person in this place, touched this morning by Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you remind us of all that you have done, what you have saved us from, and we would be filled with thankfulness in Jesus' name. A great sign that you are free is that you thank God. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you today, God. We proclaim the Spirit of the Lord. This is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. There are going to be people saved today. And we're going to open up the altar this morning. Just let God turn our hearts towards Him again in Jesus' name. Come on, together as Oxford Falls, let's all say amen together, hey? Amen. Praise God. Come on, put your hands together. Praise Jesus. Come on, today's a good day. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, hey. Tell them, say hey. We love that one. Take your seats. Amazing. Thank you, Simeon. Can everyone give it up for Simeon on the keys as well? So good. Simeon was my music teacher, everybody, at school. I'm not doing music anymore though, so... He failed me. No, he didn't. I gave up. No. The worship was amazing today. Come on, give it up for the band again. Give it up for the worship team. Shout out. Every time I'm here, my mum always texts me. Shout out my mum and dad. My mum texts me. She says, worship was awesome today. I loved it. So I worshipped. Even when I'm in the room, I'm like, I was there, mum. She still texts me. Worship was awesome today. Hey, worship was amazing. It was so good. She does a whole video and zooming in on everybody. So, guys, you're famous in my mum's eyes, honestly. So, so good. Here today, we're talking about Jesus saved us from slavery. So, so good. And all the youth guys at the front here, shout out the youth. Everyone give it up for the guys. Jackson and Nat are leading our youth and doing an amazing job here at Oxford Falls. Give it up for these guys, Jackson and Nat. An answer to prayer coming and leading Oxford Falls. And Elle and I love you guys so much, and now we're going to get into it together. Ollie preached another storm. I thought I had the wrong week, bro. I think you're on today, you know? Jesus saved us from slavery. Jesus saved us from slavery. And today I want to go over, we were once slaves, we are now sons, and we are now in an intimate relationship with Abba Father. 1, 2, 3. Once slaves, now sons, and we can now call upon Abba, Father. And so we're going to jump into this today. Galatians 4, 3 to 7. Turn with me. Galatians 4. We've been going. Last week we talked about we are saved from the law. Pastor Al was preaching that we are now no longer under the law, but under grace. And today we're talking about set free from slavery. So Paul goes on here in chapter 4. Let's continue reading. He says, when we were underage, which is when we were before we knew God, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. We're going to touch on that today. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So good. Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a child of God. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. He has made you an heir. And if you flick over to verse 8 to 9, keep reading there. If you've got your Bibles, I've got my Bible here, shout out, or the TYBs. Formerly, when you did not know God, verse 8, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. These elemental spiritual forces, these idols, these other gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, I love that bit too, or rather known by God, how is it that we are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? And this is powerful because in this day and age, especially here on the Northern Beaches, slavery isn't maybe something we talk about a lot. We live pretty free lives. Would you agree? We're out there living free. But I would question that and say, are you really free? Because if you've heard Bob Dylan and his song, You Gotta Serve Somebody, and look, he released a song in 1979, so I wasn't around. And I love the song. I don't know. I just heard it. And you gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, and you gotta serve somebody, you know? Gotta get the band back up, you know? Gotta serve. And I can't sing, so I shouldn't try. And it's just really, it's profound. You will serve something. And in this life, we our sinful nature will always want to serve something. But Jesus has come to die on the cross so that we may be set free from that to serve him. And I want to paint this picture of a slave. I want to get really real. Slaves in this Greco-Roman time and in the Old Testament were so mistreated. And this is something foreign to us, but I want to remind you what a slave was. And this is the parallel of what we once were. We've got to remember what we were before Christ. And man, slavery, the master owned the slave. Complete control, dominion over another person. You weren't even considered a person as a slave. You were a piece of property. You were, by extension, your whole family were slaves because you were a slave. It was also not even uncommon for families to need to raise money to survive, and they would sell their children to do that. Sell their children into slavery. Children were born into it from the womb. The most brutal forms of punishment were reserved for the slaves. The abuse and the torture and the sexual exploitation of these slaves. It was like a fling over here for the master and a fling over there. And these guys were completely controlled. Even nations were under complete slavery. The Israelites for over 300 years were whipped and slaves under the Egyptians. And it was like it was everywhere. People, there were slaves, everybody had slaves. It was so normal. It was so, they couldn't get out slaves. You owned nothing. You had absolutely nothing. And who's seen the movie Shawshank Redemption? You seen this? Great movie, top 10. Top three, probably top two. Top two. I'd put it up there. Honestly, I would. I would. You may judge it differently. I'm putting it up there. I've got a quote to share, and I've got one more as well. But this movie about being in prison, and Red, you know, the main guy, he says, man, they send you here for life, and that's exactly what they're taking. They send you here for life, that's exactly what they're taking. And that was a slave. And by parallel, that is you and I. Before we knew Christ. Put it this way. Slavery is our default. We are sinful by nature. Default. We always been. But it was not our design. Freedom was our actual design. Our intrinsic first nature. Adam and Eve, born in there, they were free. And we sinned, and we are all of that same character, sinful by nature. We fell short. By design, we are free. The juxtaposition between slavery and a relationship with God is like polar opposites. Slavery is this coercion. It's this pain. It's this manipulation. It's disgusting. And the kind of relationship God desires is far more profound. It's complex, it's deep. The grounded in true freedom mutual love and respect. Like, God doesn't force you to love him. We aren't robots, you know? Like, God actually took a risk on us to say, hey, have a free will. You can choose what you like. But true love only works when there is a choice. Eloise wouldn't be in love with me if I forced her to, you know? If I forced Eloise to love me, you know? Like, you are my slave, love me, wife, you know? Oh my, how terrible. And if you ever saw that, you'd be running. Red flags, red flags, red flags, right? Think of like a husband and a wife and a son and a daughter, or a father and a son or a daughter, whatever. Think of your own relationship like it is this mutual partnership. It's this friendship. It's a bond. And Jesus does that with us. He comes in and God doesn't, it's not just let go and let God, he does it all. It's a union with Jesus. You are united with Christ. It's together, it's one in there. And this is like, man, in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. And that is just this profound thing that we were once slaves in this. But now we are not just slaves anymore. We are sons of Jesus, of God. So we, number two, now adopted as sons. We have a changed position. Changed position. Galatians 4:5. To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now let me give you the parallel, all right, of a son, of a son of a father or even a daughter as well. The son, you know who you are. It's no question who you are. You know. A slave, you're not your own. But a son, you have rights. You have benefits. You have blessings. You have privileges. You have responsibilities. You have an inheritance. You get everything the father has, you get. The slave has no future, no hope, nothing owed to them, nothing they own. The son was important, well-respected, honored above all, and trusted with much. The son isn't something you put on or have for a moment. It is your identity, your complete identity. So when you're a slave, you're a slave identity. You aren't even a person. But when Jesus died on that cross and we accepted him, we are completely sons now of God. And even the difference, like, it's not sons and daughters, but it does include all genders, because Paul in the previous chapter says, it doesn't matter what gender you are, you're all adopted, male, female, everybody. But the point Paul's here making, saying sonship only, is the first son and the son in this time, and the parallel of it is that the rights and the blessing and the firstborn son is what we all get, women included. We all are a part of that, the sonship. And John 8 says, so if the son sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free. You no longer have to perform your Christianity. Because many people, oh man, like, I want to teach our guys continually, our youth, how to pray. And many people really don't actually pray, but they perform. They perform before the Lord. The enemy will try to tempt you and make you think that your prayers are just a rehearsed saying, that it has no power, no one's listening, it's just a rehearsed thing like this. But prayer is real when it's intimate, when it's this U-shape of like intimacy with God from a position of, I'm a son, God, help me, I need you, I'm a son. I'm birthed in this place. And Galatians, these guys, Paul is a youth pastor when he writes this message basically. So I relate to this. Paul's the youth, he's ravenous, he's a bit like hot-headed, getting in there, ravenous, that's a weird word. He's hot-headed. And he's getting in there, I'm a bit ravenous today. He's there. 20 years after the cross, these guys are already doubting the cross. It's like 20 years, we're like 2,000 years now. After 20 years, some people saw it and they're doubting. Did Jesus really save me from slavery? And they're being confused and drawn into all these other things. You've got to do more stuff and you've got to do the works of the law and you've got to do all these other things. Don't think grace is simple, because living in grace is very profound. It is very profound living in grace. It is harder to live in grace, because if you've been like me and sometimes you get weak in your faith, God doesn't move as fast as you would like. Prayers aren't answered on time. Come on. I get discouraged. I wonder, the race is longer than I thought. We don't think grace is actually going to cover us for that whole life, but it does. It does. Picture this analogy of an orphan. If there was an orphan and they got adopted into the house, you know, a house, a family, a mansion, rich, a son, and then the next day this orphan runs out on the street and is on the side of the street begging for bread again, what would we say to that son? What would we say to him? What are you doing? That's not who you are anymore. You get back in here, you know, you're a son of this house. Get off the street, you know, get back inside the house. And that's where we live. But many of us can fall into that. Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do. It is such a wrestle in life to acknowledge that. But Paul says in Galatians 5, stand firm then. It is for freedom Christ set us free. Don't go back to slavery. You're a son, stand firm then and do not let yourselves. Scary scripture. You know why? Because it's actually your responsibility. Do not let yourselves be fall into slavery. And Paul says again, don't do it again and again and again and again. Don't do it again. You don't live there. You are far too precious. Oh man, your life, your calling, your children's children, your family are far too precious for you to just forget that you're a slave again and forget you're a son. Man, like the best part of this is, I got another Shawshank quote. All of you got to watch it today. You got to go home today, put on Shawshank, get the rewind. This quote I love so much. And one of the guys, Andy, gets out and the other guy's still in prison. And he says to himself, he says, I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. Man, our feathers are just too bright. Our calling is too deep. Our grace is too, God's grace is too profound, you know. We got to live in it. And like even the prodigal son, you know, the prodigal son story, me and Jackson love sharing about this one. And the prodigal son goes out in wild living, does all that he does on it, you know, he runs out, he lives a wild life, and he comes back and turns, a prodigal son, turns back to God. And I want to pray for our prodigal sons here after today too. Comes back and the father lets him in, puts the robe on him, gets the ring, has a big party. And the first son is jealous. He's there. Why are you letting him back in? He left you. I've been here your whole life. You never did this for me. And that's scary because how the son was in the house of God, that second son, but he did not know the father's character. That he would let him back in. He said, you got to fix yourself up before you come back here. You're a slave. You got to work your way to this again. And it's just like, wow, that second son didn't know the father. And I would hate to grow up in church. I would hate to live this Christian life and not know the father and how we can let people in and not put rules on them being saved. We will be a very little church if we put rules on people to be saved. Other than believing in Jesus Christ, the true life, the one life, the only life, Jesus Christ. We'll become very small. Come on, amen. We're not an average church. I believe for Oxford Falls, come on, C3SYD, all of us here, but this location in particular, we are in the foundations of this place. Come on, there's been 40 years, but there are foundations here for you and I to build upon. There are new shoots and new roots, I feel, new branches coming off a tree, an oak tree that has been here for years and years and years. And there will be shoots and new flowers and new, there will be roots of new people and believers here. But we'll be an average church. God doesn't want an average church. He doesn't want an average church because he doesn't want an average kingdom. Because he's not an average king. He is a real king. Father, it's amazing. So number one, once slaves. Number two, we are now sons. It is for freedom Christ set us free. And lastly, the closing point, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, 6 to 7. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And the Abba Father, to say Abba, you know, is the intimacy and closeness and proximity to God. This was the same prayer Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane at his lowest. He cried out, Abba Father. And this is only for people who are Christians and believe in Christ to say Abba Father, because it is the same parallel to how Jesus related to the Father. The same love God had, the Father, for Jesus, he has the exact same for us. The exact same. John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And that's the closeness, the reality of that secret place. And today, if you can just walk away with anything, is to remember you're this son and run to that secret place with Jesus. Refuge in God. Cry out to God. Don't perform, but just be in position. Be in prayer. Be in the prayer room. Get in there. Get into that secret place. And then it goes, there's so many scriptures of this, like Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap what they store away? Are you not much more valuable than them? Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also do along with him graciously give us all things? He gives us all things in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. The band can join me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm really keen to pray for everyone today. I'm just like, what Pastor Al was saying so well is being filled with thankfulness. This is your application today. Walk away with thankfulness. You are truly free, and it's evident that you are free when you are on your knees thanking God, when you are thanking Jesus. And in a moment, I'd like to even fill this altar. If you're hungry and you want to thank God afresh and again, to just fill this altar, and we want to pray for our church in this location and thank God for all he's done, just to be thankful. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. Like, I'm weeping in worship, like remembering, like I got saved when I was 12 years old, you know, and I still remember that so powerfully, you know, it brings me to tears. You know, does that salvation moment like draw you back? Does it get you? Because that's how we now want to live. You don't want to go back into prison. You don't want to go back into slavery. Why would you choose that again? Jesus died for nothing if we just go back to it. In Jesus' name. So Lord, would you close your eyes all across this place? Lord, we pray to you today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. You saved us from slavery, Jesus. And today too, I want to remind you that God didn't force Jesus to love you. Jesus was not forced to have to love and save our sins. He gave up his life for us because he so loved the world. He so loved us. So receive his love again. You know, slavery, you force someone to love you. You force someone to do what you want them to do. Jesus isn't forcing you today. He is calling you and knocking on your heart. All eyes are closed here. If you are coming back to God today, I call you and I appeal to the Holy Spirit that is within you to come back to the altar, to come back to Jesus. Or if you're here today and you have never known Jesus, you have never known him, I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus today. This is your moment. This is your place. And I found God in this very church and this very house. I'm so proud to be part of this church, to have been raised in this place. And would you join with us all as the church and be united together, saying yes to God? So if that's you, I want to give me a wave on the count of three. If that's you here in this place, the anointing is here in Jesus' name. To say yes to Jesus. So if that's you, on the count of three, say yes to God today. Or if you're coming back, one, If that's you, raise your hand with me. 2, 3. If that's you here today, say yes to Jesus. Give me a wave right now, all across this place. Thank you, Jesus. Holy God, if there's anyone here, thank you, Jesus. Lord, Holy Spirit, you move right now, God. The unction of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Call back, Lord God, your people in Jesus' name. There are people here to receive Jesus. A wrestle right now in your head and your heart. Let grace take over today. Doesn't matter how much you sin, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. You can say yes to him today, right here, right now, if that's you. Here today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I want even a couple in Jesus' name to come back to Jesus. Couples that have been far from God, coming back to Jesus, saying yes to the Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. The love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, the love of God. Show your love this morning, Jesus. Show your love, show your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you're moving in hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus. Seal us, Lord, in your salvation today. This is the day, Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. In your mighty name, Lord God. Let's say this prayer all together across this place. Let's say it together. Dear Jesus, today I choose to follow you all the days of my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash me clean. I turn to you and acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.